Well, bless your hearts, as you say down here. And thank you. Okay. I'm really blessed to be here. You know, I believe it was in Ryan or Jeff or any of you can... it was like 13 years ago, right, that we sent you guys down here? And just unbelievable, the great work that they've done down here moving the word, and I couldn't be more proud of a group of people. For real. And, you know, just last Sunday, I don't remember really, we sent seven believers to Charlotte to do the same thing, eight down there. So the Magnificent Seven has gone down there, and they're going to do a great job with Drew and Paula and the rest of the believers. And it's been quite a year for many of us, especially in New Jersey. I mean, it's like we've gone full tilt boogie from Pentecost, which was whenever that was. When was that? Late May this year? And I was in Charlotte and got really blessed in a weekend that they had. And they hadn't had one like that in like 30 years. And it was just tremendous. And we had one in New Jersey at the property that somebody gave us. And then we had our summer camp. And I don't remember when that was, but it was sometime in the summer. I suppose it was summer camp. And then 2 weeks later, we had, what was it? Oh, July 4th, yeah. And then 2 weeks later, we did a kids camp that culminated on that Saturday that had 340 people at it, kids flying everywhere. It was just awesome watching the kids. And then what else? Oh, and then they did the youth advance. Then I spent a week training these guys that were going out to Charlotte. And here I am. I'm sure happy to be here. I'd rather be up there, but not yet. But he's coming back. I got so blessed with this gift that the believers here got for everybody that is in attendance. And I was reading these before in my room, and they're just fantastic. Let's see here. They're in categories, and the first one is Word Over the World. And the first verse is Acts 5:20, which is, I imagine, the theme verse for this, which is, go stand and speak to the in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Great verse. Maybe we don't go to temples, but we go to gas stations. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Acts 26:18, which is, if you know, this was the purpose of the foundational PFAL class. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Great verse. 2 Timothy 2:2, which I'm very interested in as long as I live to preserve this verse as much as I can. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then the final one I want to read is 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. These are tremendous verses. And this, the way they were put together, is just fantastic. I exhort you to look at them and learn them and memorize them. They'll help you through your life. The Bible's referred to as the word of what?
Life.
Life. And life is life in all its fullness. All of its fullness. I'd like to share a little bit about myself. I was born at a very early age. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And thank you, Michael, Jeff, and whoever, for allowing me the privilege of sharing. You know, I got in the Word in February of 1971, and I've been teaching a little bit since then. And every time I teach, it's just like before I play a football game or a basketball game. You get hyped up, you just so thrilled. at the honor and privilege of being able to share a little bit of the word. In verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. You know, we're going to be looking at a lot of different things concerning the outreach of God's word, I hope. I mean, go stand and speak to the people in the temple. I mean, we're not necessarily going to go to a temple, but we're going to go speak the word, right? Dylan is good. Praise the Lord. You guys will come along. You'll come along. But it sounded out. Look at that. It sounded out. And I want to read the whole chapter. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 1 again. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is of God, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Every church epistle starts with grace and peace. Nowhere else in the Word of God, you can go to your Samuels, your Lamentations, your Ezekiels, nowhere grace and peace except Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, see? Everywhere, grace and peace, grace and peace. Grace means kind. That's nice. If that was the only thing, that's nice. It means affectionate. It means pleasing nature. It means inclining disposition. It means friendly willingness. Undeserved divine favor. God has given us as sons of God this kindness, this pleasing nature, undeserved divine favor. None of us deserved it. His friendly willingness and peace, peace. Boy, doesn't the world need peace. This is, it should be such an easy time for us to speak the word to people. The world is a mess. It's falling apart. It's going ape crazy. People want peace. They need peace. Pharmaceuticals are way up because they try to provide people peace by a pill. We have peace by our Father. We have peace because of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we have peace. It's undisturbed. It's untroubled. It's undisturbed well-being. It's the absence of all strife. It's forgiveness enjoyed. Enjoy your forgiveness. You guys beat the crap out of yourself with condemnation too often. If it's once, it's too often. And it takes one to know one. I do the same thing. And that's not acceptable. It's not good. Because condemnation means words against. The devil is constantly propounding our brains against ourselves. Something we did, something we said, something, you know. Undisturbed. Forgiveness enjoyed. That's what peace is. Man, oh man, it's not doing this like we used to do in California. It's not wearing beads or something like that. It's an inside job that will project itself outwardly. Every church epistle opens with grace and peace. And because of grace, That's the only way we could have real peace, because it says by grace are you saved, right? Through faith, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of, what does it say? It says something, but it's grace. And it says that's how we're saved. And that's how we get peace, is because of God's grace that was extended upon us because of God's love and kindness. Believers and people that live in this dark, cruel, doggone world need to see in action God's grace and peace in our lives. You know, it's true. Look at verse 2 here in 1 Thessalonians 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. What a tremendous thing that we can do for one another. Pray. Maybe the reason we don't see it as big as we ought to is because nobody sees us do it. Read Matthew 6 sometime. They love to be heard praying in the synagogues and in the streets. Most gracious, heavenly, universal, come on, pray. Talk to God. Ask God for stuff. Talk to him. Ask him to help people. Boy, oh boy, they gave thanks always for those believers, making mention of you in their prayers. Every time they thought of them, they prayed for them. I try to play a game in my mind. When I think of someone, I pray for them. What a tremendous, even if it's people you don't like, or that you may have beef with. Hi, Terry. I don't have beef. No, it's not like that. I just saw Terry, I said, hi. I don't have any beef with Terry. Terry is fantastic. Oh, God. Okay. Well, every time they thought of him, they prayed for him. They thought of a believer, they prayed for him. What a great thing to do with your brain. Man, that's cool. Yeah, nice. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Without ceasing means with careful attention. Remembering with careful attention, they paid attention to the believers, your work of faith. They remembered the believers and how wonderfully they believed God. What a great way to remember someone. Okay. And not just that, their work of believing. Labor of love and patience of hope. Their work of believing. It takes an effort on our part for us to renew our minds to what God's word says so that we can believe it. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. And that word prove means put to test. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? That is our blessing, our challenge, to be able to go to God's word and read it and put it to test by believing it. And you'll get more out of life. You'll be more excited about God and God and his word as you believe it. See, me too. You see something come to pass that you believe, oh my gosh. And you go, whoa, just like they did in Acts. It said they were astonished. And that's really not that bad of a translation. He was blown away. Well, whoa. Not because he didn't believe, but because God's so big. His deliverance is so right and so perfect. Colossians, you can go there if you want to. Chapter 3. So he thanked God without ceasing for their work of faith, but their work of faith came as a result of them renewing their minds and believing the word. Chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, it says it again, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Every time I'm kind, you know what I'm doing? I'm believing God. I'm believing what his word says. Every time I'm, whatever it says, I should put on bowels of mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, kindness, That's all believing God. But no, we think believing God is having the Red Seas part, but believing God is accepting what you've got and what God has given us so freely. In Ephesians 4, if you want to go there, in verse 24 of Ephesians 4, it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holy." This put on is the same word that was used in Colossians. Put on, it's used a lot in the word. Well, a lot. It's put on, it's used, that's for sure. It's like sinking into your clothes. That's a cool definition. I don't know if I've ever sank into my clothes, but that's what this means. Or quite simply, putting on your clothes. Those of you that are naked now, please stand up. You did something to get to look like you did right now. Some of you fluffed, you feathered, whatever you did. You put the grease on your face, you know. You want to look sharp, opening night, the advance, woohoo! And you sure look beautiful, beautiful, sure. Don't you think? You put your clothes on. God wants us to put on the mind of Christ. God wants us to renew our minds according to his word so that we can operate believing in our lives, putting it here and manifesting it there. Back in 1 Thessalonians 1, and it says in verse 3 again, it says, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Labor of love. Paul remembered in his mind how loving these believers were. I think of these guys here in Atlanta, especially right now and in this past week. These things don't just come together. There's work involved. These guys work so wonderfully together. They care for each other. They love each other. And then the product produced should be love. And I believe it is. Because the love was put into it, the love today, like all these people working, it was just so great doing it together. So Paul remembered how loving it was, how loving they were. And you know, sometimes it's not that easy to be loving. You may say, well, how can he say that? Well, because I'm a human. That's how. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody hurt you. Somebody screwed you over. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. It takes hard work in this dark, negative world sometimes to stay loving. But God wants us to be loving. And that's how Paul remembered these wonderful believers. And then it says patience and hope. You know, it's patient enduring. We wait for the hope. We anticipate the hope with tremendous patience. When there'll be no more problems anymore, there'll be no more headaches, heartaches, any kind of ache. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more fears. There'll be no more negatives. Wow, what a day to look forward to. And God's word encourages us to be patient. And Paul thanked God for these believers who were patient in the hope. And in verse 4, it says, knowing brethren, beloved brethren, your election of God. We're elected of God. The word election means chosen. We were selected. You know, in November, there's going to be a what do they call that? An election, yeah. And you know who's gonna win? Not the people, no matter who wins. It doesn't matter. I'm a MAGA Republican. So I make that statement. Some of you go, yeah, but you won't say it. You won't say it. No, you know, God forbid you say it. And I'll say, I am Kamala's assistant. And some of you go, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Other people go, oh God, Kamala's great. He must be great. Doesn't matter. You know what? We've been elected by God Almighty. It says in Ephesians 1:4 something. How's it start? Well, Ephesians 1:4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed. Nope. Before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in what?
Love.
He chose us. We accepted the election. So now guess what we are? We're elected and we're selected. It's unbelievably great. It's in Colossians chapter 3:2. You can look it up sometime. But in there it calls us the elect of God. God Almighty, you know who he is, right? He created the heavens and the earth. He before the foundations of the world saw us. Me? He did it. It's his problem now. Verse 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were, we became among you for your sake." For our gospel, the gospel, almost every time in the New Testament where gospel is used, it's referring to the mystery. Jews, Gentiles, fellow heirs, and of the same what? Yeah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everywhere I go, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is back in town, Jack. If you're there, he's there. And if he's there, there is ability to be utilized in our lives. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Why not? Cast out devils. Get people born again. See, we live too far below par. I told those guys in Charlotte, where you go in Charlotte, Jesus Christ is in town because you're there. And wherever you are, he is. That's the mystery and that's the gospel here. It came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Anybody can quote a scripture. Anybody can memorize a verse. Hey? But if there's no godly power and there's no fruit in a person's life, what good is it? You know a scripture, big deal. You know figures of speech, big deal. I'm not impressed by your knowledge, nor should you be impressed by my knowledge. By your fruit you shall know them. Am I manifesting love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, all that stuff? Am I praying for people and they're getting healed? Am I getting my prayers answered? Or am I a counterfeit? Say, okay, you guys go get them. And I don't, and I sit home on my fat ass and do nothing except memorize scripture. Boy, I learned 10 scriptures. Really? I don't care. You know who else doesn't care? God. Do you think he is so happy about your knowledge? I think he's happy by your walk when you walk. I think he's happy when we believe him. See, no one's great except God. Somebody said that to Jesus. Good master, right? Why callest thou me good? None good but God. So I'm going to say, look at me, Jerry C. No, it ain't happening. Ain't happening, man. God, I just love to screw around with you tonight, but I can't. I gotta go to work. I gotta work here. But if you don't see any godly power, if you don't see any fruit, then why bother? Why even go to a fellowship? I wouldn't go to a fellowship if all they did was teach. If they didn't minister, if they didn't see signs, miracles. Man, what are we doing? I don't want to be another cheap religion. We got too many of those. When I got into God's word and I took the Power for Abundant Living class, I'll never forget it. I wrote down on a sheet of paper, and I was 18. I turned 19 during the class. I'd like to be the best Jerry Carr for God I can possibly be. It's still my goal, and I'll never reach it. But that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a believer named Jerry who could stand on God's word, who could minister to people, who could love people. I never was looking for the position job, the company man. I'm not interested in any of that. They saw Paul, they saw Silas, they saw Timothy, they saw Peter, they saw all these people. They saw their walk. They saw their walk. They saw them operate the 9 manifestations. They saw them walk in love. They saw them heal the sick, raise the dead. They saw them operate all 9 manifestations. And here it says, and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Much assurance means with most certain confidence. With most certain confidence. They, yeah. And in the Holy Ghost and in certain confidence, as you know what manner of men we were, and it could read, we became among you for your sake. And when I see some of you that I know, you guys have this, you do this. They saw their walks. You could quote scripture till the cows come home. But if there's no revelation, if there's no power, if there's no word of God manifested, what good is it? God has fully equipped every single believer. From the youngest guy or girl, we can still call them guys and girls, right? We're good there still? We're all right in this group? We're okay? Anybody not sure? Can you imagine how insane the world has gotten? I mean, not that it never was. It always has been, but my God. Whoever, they saw these men, and they not only saw them, they observed them, they watched them, they put their eyes on them. And you know, those of you that know me, my life is a bubble. I mean, my door is always open. There's people in my house constantly. I am with people constantly. You've seen my good, you've seen my bad, and you know what? I don't mind that. I'm not hiding nothing, and I never will. No way, no way. If you judge me, peace and incense from the dove above. You know, I don't care. Judge me. But they saw these men walk with God. They saw them walk with God. Believers knew what manner of men they were because of their sake. If God's word's ever going to really sound out, people need to see the need to manifest God's power. And as far as I know, speaking in tongues is the weirdest manifestation of them all. And yet it's the one that we deem the easiest to do. Speaking in tongues is weird. Or you think that's... What did you think when you first heard that? I was like, huh? Of course, I thought, like many, you know, it's another language, which it is. I thought, well, this must be some Greek stuff or something. I didn't know. But it's a very weird thing, and all of us do it with tremendous confidence, and I'd encourage us all to do it more and more. Speaking in tongues is the foundational manifestations with which all the rest of them are, and it's just fantastic. We heard tongues interpretation and prophecy tonight. God speaking to us words of edification, exhortation, and what? Amen. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. Man, what a verse. You can write this one down. Philippians 4:9, if you'd like to, I'll read it. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, people need to see us as believers walking. You say you want to get somebody in the word. Well, that's good. Well, walk a little bit. Right? Walk a little bit. No, we're still here. Wouldn't that be? I think every time I come here, that happens. And I'm like, what? Could be, but then, you know, it's in a moment. We're still here. Or we missed it. But people got to see us walking with God. If we ever really want to get anybody in the word, they, you know, it's great to share the word. We should, but they need to see us walk. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Although I'd love for you to pay attention tonight. you know. But before they can really get rooted and grounded, they got to see us like that. You know, it's life is like that. You know, you had parents and they did their best to raise you and they told you what to do and they told you what not to do. And as you did what they wanted you to do, you got more blessed than you did when you didn't do what they wanted you to do. In school, the same thing. You go to school, you get an education. I could not get my head wrapped around 2 + 2. I had Mrs. Kloa, a first grade teacher of mine, who had this lisp. It drove me nuts. She goes, so. And I was like, 2 + 2. And after, I couldn't get it. I did not understand 2 + 2 is 4. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. Mrs. Claw lovingly, that was back when kids used to bring apples to the teacher thinking they'd be nicer to him. So she had like 100 apples, I don't know. But she took apples. Now I knew how to count. She goes, one. And then she has me count, two. And I count, three, four. And then she split them. And she said, say that, one, two. Three, two plus, and I got it. It connected because she took time to teach me. Learning is like that, right? I mean, before people can walk on God's word, why would that be in sports? George and I played for an undefeated football team in California. We're number one in the state of California. Unbelievable team. I don't know how many plays on offense we had, but it was not more than like seven. And at practice, our coach would get, if again, 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 again. And he would drive those plays into our heads to the point that 40 years later, George and I went to our 40th anniversary football team thing. Dorsey and Diane went with us, and they fell in love with all the other guys. But the high school team that was currently there, they had the idea that they would want to do a scrimmage with us old people. And we're like, what the hell? And one of our old coaches was he's still alive, George, by the way, Mr. Hennessy. He screamed at us and got us in the huddle. I had just had open heart surgery a month before, but I didn't care. I'm in a huddle. I'm going here. Let's go. And I forget what play. Was it 34 counter? Or no, it was a quarterback sneak. And you know what happened? The very first play, we scored. These old guys embarrassed them. All you could hear those coaches again. You knew the blocking situation. Why? We were taught, and then we acted. To the end that 40 years later, we still remembered the plays. That's incredible. What about us as believers? It's embarrassing. We've been taught well, for the most part, I hope. Man, let's do something with what we've been taught. You know how I learned the word? When I took the PFL class, we had these 52, I think, little teeny collateral readings. Ended up being the Bible Tells Me So, the Word's Way, New Dynamic Church, etc. And I would take one of those collaterals, and if there was something to apply in that collateral, I would not read another collateral until I believed God, whatever that collateral said, until it came to pass. And that's how I learned the word, by learning it and doing it. Learning it, doing it. There's three R's in the word. Remember, it's receive with what?
Jesus.
Retain with what?
Conviction.
Some of you need to take the class again. Release with what?
Boldness.
That's it, man. But before you can release with boldness, you got to receive it with meekness. You got to hold on to it in your heart to the end that you freely just avail yourself. You speak the word. Gas station. We have Wawa's. You guys down here have Piggly Wiggly. So, either way, it doesn't matter. The point is, those things that they learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Paul, man, oh man, and the result? The God of peace be with you. They learned from their leaders because their leaders weren't counterfeit. They learned from their leaders because their leaders walked with God. They weren't a bunch of BSers. They were people who did what the word said. And were freely availed themselves to help people. Whether it's 5 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, one of my iPhones always, you know that. And we've had some great times late at night dealing with stuff. Romans chapter 10. But you're never going to act if you don't learn. Romans 10. Michael, would you read verses 13 through 17, please?
Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word.
There it is. It's right there. How can you call on somebody you don't believe? How should they believe on whom they haven't heard? How are they going to hear without somebody preaching? How can they preach except they be sent? And it ends up, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what?
Word of God.
That's what does it. That's what increases our believing, hearing the word. But it also increases others believing by sharing the word with others. They won't ever be able to follow God unless they hear the word of God from somebody. Somebody witnessed to you, right? Someday. Somebody told you about the Bible. I'd like all of you to stand, please. Please stand. It's great. Stand. That's great. Hug your neighbor. Good. Now sit down. They won't ever be able to believe God's word unless somebody tells them. What we say, how we act, how we live makes an indelible impact on people's lives. People need to see a living witness, not just words. When I got into God's word, I stood in utter awe of those who got me in the word. I was so much. I just wanted to be with them all the time. I wanted to be like them, not their personality, but I wanted to pray for people and them get healed. I wanted to share the word. I stood in utter awe of my leaders, of my overseers, who probably were in the word like 6 months. But you know what? Those 6 months, they believed everything they heard, and they moved the word. They spoke the word. They went everywhere preaching the gospel from house to house, witnessing, under-shepherding, ministering healing, kicking out spirits. That's how I grew up in the word. We need to see that. Oh, by the way, I wanted to just share with you. I know all the devil spirits that were present in the word are not any longer here. Well, one of the manifestations is discerning of spirits. Being able to know the presence or non-presence of the spirits and the identity of the spirits present. And if you need to know, you can cast them out. Do we ever even think about that anymore? Do we ever even consider that maybe a person's problem is because the adversary has a hold on his toe? It's the word, people. It's the word. Yeah, verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1. But boy, I saw this growing in the word. So did many of you here that have been in the word over 40 or 50 years. That's how the word moved. There was power in those fellowships. And there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of great knowledge. There wasn't a whole lot of polished teachers. I'm not interested in polished teachers either, by the way. Share. Teach the word. If Lexi shares it, it's as good as me. It's as good as Bob Chatton even. It's as good as anybody. It's the word. It's the word. And it doesn't matter if you smile. It doesn't matter if you frown. It's the word. It doesn't matter even how you look. It's the word. Verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were followers of those men of God. And that's that word imitator, whatever you pronounce the Greek. Children are great examples of mimicking their parents, especially when they're little. When they get a little older, they don't want anything to do with how they act, you know, because they're too cool. I'm looking at some in here tonight. Too cool for school, man. They were followers of them and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, much pressure, much tribulation, much disturbance. Even though they had pressure, you realize they were under Roman law? Those guys, you think taxes are bad now. It was not easy living then. But even though there was pressure, tribulation, etc., they received the word of God with joy, even though there was pressure. These wonderful men received with joy, even though it was difficult. It was very difficult. It was hard, just like it is for many of us at times. But they did it because God wanted them to do it. They did it with joy. They did it because they wanted to do it. You think for 1 minute I'm doing what I do because I have to? You know, the only thing I have to do is go to heaven. When the trumpet sounds, I'm gone. Now I have options. I could become a Buddhist tomorrow. I don't intend to become a Buddhist tomorrow. I could, though. I have that choice. So do you. Go ahead. Become a Buddhist. Look, we are such blessed people. We've been taught so well by young people, by old people. And it doesn't matter who sings a song. It's that the song gets sung. Go to Acts chapter 17, show you a little bit about this Thessalonica thing. Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 1. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Amphipolis. How do you pronounce that, Drew?
Amphipolis.
Okay. I have to ask a Greek. In Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy, and they took with them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set a city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. They were great people, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason, and it goes on and it goes on to where it gets to verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Okay? That's what they did. They heard the word, but they didn't take it as the word of Paul or whatever. They took it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in those that believe. Boy, oh boy. Thessalonica was pretty cool. They reasoned with them. They had a dialogue. They spoke. They talked. They conversed. But these people were envious. The word envy means, and this word envy is pretty deep. It means to be heated or boiled over. They were just hot with hatred and anger, heart-burning jealousy. They saw these guys getting the attention. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, they just lost their stuff, man. They're so jealous. Leave it to the Christian church to have 5 billion denominations. There shouldn't even be a denomination. There shouldn't be a Harbor Light Fellowship. There shouldn't be any of that. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm brothers and sisters with those Baptists that are born again, those Roman Catholics that are born again. In New Jersey, it's fantastic. I don't know if you have this problem down south, but you'll go. Somebody, you know, like, are you a Christian? And they say, no, I'm a Catholic. I go, wait a minute. Have you guys ever heard that in Jersey? I mean, 1,000 times. And then you always go, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. You believe God raised him from the dead? Yes. You think Jesus is God? I don't know. You know, they don't know. They go on Christmas and Thanksgiving or Easter or whatever. They don't know what the hell. But God... they would die before they said they weren't Catholic. It's almost like, you know, I have Irish descent. Can you tell? Drew was wondering why my legs were so white. Talk to those potato farmers back when. Anyway, they moved with hatred. They just were envious. Lewd fellows, they were wicked. Lewd means wicked, derelicts, malicious, vicious, grievous. They were just awful. And it's always a few, you know. You see these big riots happen sometimes. There's only a few people with big devil spirits that cause the stir. People in the back room stirring the pot. Some of them don't even go to the what do you call those things? Riots. Thank you. White Lives Matter. I'm starting that. What a dumb thing. The Bible describes people, Jew, Gentile, church. That's it. Enough. I got yelled at by some people about that. Well, you don't understand. Like, shut up. It's only a few people that stir up everybody else. So we can see how they receive the word in much affliction, but yet with great joy. With great joy. It's available to have great joy. And sometimes I know it's hard. I know it is. So when it gets really hard, and get help. Have somebody pray for you. Share your heart. Say, I'm screwed up, man. My brain is not good. Help me. You know, I've seen leaders have so much pride in this area. You know, and I don't know why, because it's stupid. It's also devilish. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. It says, so that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Man, that must have made them feel so great that they were examples. You know, that word tupos, which means they made an imprint. Their lives made an imprint on the people there. They made an imprint on the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Man, that's something I want. I want my life to make an imprint. Wherever I go, I want it to be a good imprint, prayerfully, you know. But they sounded this word of God out. Look at verse 8 again. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith or believing to Godward is spread abroad. So they didn't even need to say anything. You know why they didn't need to see anything? Because they walked in love. They labored. They believed. They were patient in hope. They didn't need to say anything. I remember when Jimmy and Lily and Madi and Lisi and who's the other one? Chrissy. We're in Idaho. And they went out just like these guys came to Atlanta many years ago. 95, Jimmy? 98. What is it? 98. Hi, Madi.
Hi.
98. Thank you, Jimmy. I'm going to get to that real soon. But I didn't know really how they were doing. You'd ask Dana, he goes, I don't know. You know, I was like, okay. So I didn't know if they were doing great. They weren't doing so great. So I had these teachings prepared to help them along, which were reproving teachings. And the first night I was there with these guys, we walked down their downtown area, which at that time was like a block and a half, pickup trucks. It was awesome. But everybody in that town knew who these guys were, and everybody in that town liked them. Now, everybody's a figure of speech. I suppose there were some, but that one night just blew my mind, and it reproved me. These guys put their life on the line, put everything on hold to speak the word in Boise, Idaho. And it made a big impact on the young people, especially there. And for from you sounded out. You know what the word sounded out is? Echo. It's to resound. It's to echo forth. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, hello, hello. That's what this word of God did. It sounded out. It echoed forth. Somebody spoke it, manifested it to a believer. They maybe got healed. They spoke to somebody else. They spoke to somebody else. They spoke to somebody else. And before you knew it, it echoed forth. My expectation is that this word of God will echo forth like we haven't seen since the early 70s. It's still my expectation and my believing the best of my ability. And I don't know what to do to get people to do it other than to teach and to be an example of it myself. And I know that God gives the increase, but I also know there's people out there who want what you have. There's people out there who want peace, who want love, who want joy, who want power, who want help, who want wisdom. They want to know what the heck to do. You're the ones. You're the ones. I'm the ones. I'm the ones. You're the twos. This word of God sounded out or echoed forth everywhere. Their believing went out. It went out. And they learned from their leaders. The word's only going to go and move as great as the person that oversees it. It never goes much further. Right? They learned from these men by following them. They learned by these men by observing them, how they acted, how they lived. I don't know how many people, I was trying to think of it today, how many people that I have lived with since I've been in the Word. It's around 80. And I love having people live with me. How many people in here have ever lived with me? Any of you? Yeah, jeez, that's way too many. Jeez, oh, Pete, that. Yeah, sure. And boy, what a learning. For me, it's just a blessing to get to know somebody and spend intimate time with them. For them, I don't know. You have to ask them. But their believing, their love, their patience of hope, and they in turn did it the same way they were taught it. They did what they saw, and they did what they were taught by the Word of God. And it sounded out with joy. You know, think about it. Acts 2 is a pivotal point in history where for the very first time people were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and they manifested it forth by speaking in tongues. The result of that notable day was about 3,000 people believed. You know, that's quite a lot of people. Acts 3, you got the man lame from the time he was born. He got healed. Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The result of that notable miracle and incredible pressure put upon the apostles was about 5,000 believed. Want the word to move? That's the only way I know to move it. Rightly divide it and manifest it. Acts 8, on the heels of the stoning of Stephen, Philip and those guys, they moved out to, where was it? Where'd they go? Samaria? Where was it? I thought it was Samaria. Uh-oh. Samaria. And they healed people. They kicked out spirits. And there was great joy in the city. You think it was easy for those people to move? You think they weren't like us? Any of you ever move? I imagine they traveled a little lighter than we do. A donkey full of something. But they moved. They moved to a place where there weren't believers. I don't know that the schools were as good. I don't know that their jobs were as good. See, we just don't think. But Philip went there and manifested God's word in a great way, and there was great joy in the city. Fantastic record. Acts 9, Paul gets converted, a guy who was responsible for Stephen's death. And that changed the whole history of mankind because he was the one who received the revelation of the great mystery. What kind of impact did that have? He went to the Gentiles. The Italian bands, the Alberto Penas, you know, those people. And like all Italians, he had friends and all the family. The house was filled with people, and they spoke in tongues. They got born again. What's the difference from what happened there to what happens here and forward, moving forward? God's power was manifested in an outreach capacity. It was sounded out because they believed what God's word said, as taught by the Apostle Paul, as they were able to observe from Paul and Timothy and Silas. I forget who it was. Who was it? Titus? I don't know. All these guys, they watched them. They watched them manifest. They watched them speak. They watched them love. They watched them be kind. And because of their example and the people's hunger, the word moved. All right? So verse 1 again, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, they didn't just talk about it, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we became for you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of God, the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of life and for allowing us to be alive in this day and time and hour where we could know a little bit about your word, Father, and that we can manifest it in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your kindness, for your peace. Father, for your healing wholeness that's available, and for everyone here to be healed, to be blessed, to get rid of their junk, leave it at the door, and accept your goodness. Father, we're grateful for the night ahead, that we can have a really sweet night's sleep, and if your Son should tarry, then we could have just the best day of our lives tomorrow. Thank you for, again, these wonderful believers, and keep them in the hollow of your holy hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.